But you know, this is a time of the year. I love Easter. I love Easter. When I got born again, I started finding out what Jesus did for me. Changed my whole world. Changed my life. I want you to get your Bible out and go to Joshua chapter 10. I got to find it. Joshua 10. Well, Lisa and I missed you. We didn't think about you at all, I won't lie. She went snow skiing and I sat in front of a fireplace and read my Bible for 3 days. We had something really wonderful happen. Mark and Trina happened to be in Colorado at her parents' house and they came up and we had a 4-hour lunch. I just love the two of those guys, I'll tell you that. And we had a ball. We had a lot. I got to eat buffalo for the first time. Now I know why the Indians got so mad when white people killed them all. Pretty decent steak. Anyway, you ready for the word? Yes. Amen. Joshua chapter 10. I'm going to start with verse 1. I want to talk about what actually happened on the cross. In the world that we're living in today, I think most people know that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. You get out there in the world, anybody that's not even saved will tell you that Jesus died on the cross for us, the dead. What's it mean? Why? Why did he do it? Why did he have to do that? I think it's very important that we know and understand the magnitude of what happened that day. The day that Jesus was born again in hell was the single greatest day on the earth. Everything went from old covenant to new covenant. Everything in history changed. The day you prayed, everything in you changed. There is nothing that can change you but the blood. Amen. Whatever you're dealing with right now, nothing will fix it but the blood. And thank God for the blood. So we're going to get into that and talk about that. But I have something I want to show you from the Word of God that is very, very powerful. Years ago, and I think Kenny will remember this, I preached a sermon called Jesus on the Tree. It's been a long time. As a matter of fact, Kenny's going to look at me and said, that's the best sermon you ever preached in your life. So anyway, I'm going to preach it a second time, see if Kenny still likes it. Remember one I preached next week? What was the name of it? I'm putting you on the spot. Jesus and Jonah. What I preach after that? Greatest sermon I ever preached. Anyway, I put him on the spot. I asked him a question. I didn't want to embarrass him, but you need to learn. Amen. I'm just messing with him. I got to mess with him. Joshua chapter 10, verse 1. It came to pass when Adonai Zedek, the king of Jerusalem, heard how Joshua had taken Ai and utterly destroyed it. He had done to Jericho and its king, so he had done to Ai and its king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel that were among them, and they feared greatly. In other words, the Jews are cleaning clock. They go into a town and they beat everyone. And you need to know this. Not one of them died. You can go to war and the good guys don't die. Like the cowboy movie. It is true. It's possible for you to go to war and live. Dr. Paul Youngie Cho, when boys went to Vietnam from his church, from a million-member church, lost no one. Not one boy from his church died in battle. But you need to know how to pray. You need to know how to send your angels out. So Joshua and his team are going in now, going in the promised land, and God's given them cities, and now the people, in other words, after he done whipped a couple of cities, they're like, oh my God, he's coming here. That means we're all going to die. Nothing we can do about it. So they think, they're going to try. I'm going to show you what they try here. This is very important. They feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, like one of the royal cities, because it was greater than Ai, and its men were mighty. Adonai Zedek, the king of Jerusalem, sent to Horam, king of Hebron, and Param, king of Zarmuth, and Japhia, sounds like a Star Wars person, king of Lachish, and Deber, king of Eglon, said, come to me and help me that we may attack Gibeon. I don't know why they have a problem with Gibeon. Just Gibeon's the one that cut covenant with them because out of fear. So they said, we'd rather be your servants than dead. So they cut covenant. They lied to Joshua, and they cut covenant, but Joshua honored the covenant. Now they're going to go whip Gibeon because of what Gibeon did. Come to me and help me that we may attack Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and the children of Israel. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon gathered together and went up, and all of their armies camped before Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at the camp of Gilgal and said, don't forsake your servants. They're coming after us. They're going to kill us. Come to us quickly and save us. For all the kings of Amorite have dwelt in the mountains and gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, don't fear them. I have delivered them in your hand, and not a man of them shall stand before you. I've given you five cities. Now think about this for a minute. It's one thing for them to attack one city. That's a big deal. But to attack two, that's a bigger deal. Because now you have twice the enemy, but three. That's pretty nigh impossible. Four, five. What is Satan doing? Satan knows that Joshua is going to win this fight. But he also knows this, that I'm going to show you a scripture in a minute about how to take the land. So he knows that Joshua has to win this fight in a day. And I'll show you that in a minute. So he's going to throw people at him, hoping to completely overwhelm him. Does that sound a little like the devil's strategy against you? If you have a problem and can't fix it, he'll throw 20 at you. All at one time. Well, you can't whip one. You might as well go ahead and just let God show you how to whip 20. Amen. So this is going on right now, that all these kings said, well, we can't whip him, but maybe five of us can do it. Maybe five cities can whip Joshua. Say, not going to happen. God said, no, I am on your side. Say, if God is for me, who could be against me? 1,000 will fall at my side. 10,000 at my right hand. It will not come near me. Easter's a good time to preach, isn't it? That Joshua therefore came upon them suddenly, having marched all night from Gilgal. And the Lord routed them before Israel and killed them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, chased them along the road and down to Beth Horon, and struck them down as far as Azek and someplace. And it happened as they fled before Israel and were on the descent to Beth Horon, the Lord cast down hailstones from heaven on them as far as someplace. And they died, and there were more who died from hailstones than the children of Israel killed with the sword. Now, I want to stop right now, and I want you to pop a scripture on this. I just want to stop. Go to Job 38:10. Stay here in your Bible. Put it on the screen. Job 38:10. When I fixed my limit and set my bars and my doors, keep going. And when I said, this is far, you may come, but no further, and here your proud ways must stop. Keep going. Have you commanded the morning since the days and caused the dawn to know its? Keep going. I mean, that it might take hold. I missed something someplace. Keep going. Anyway, I missed it. I must have missed it, but it gave you the wrong scripture. There's a scripture that says in the book of Job, God has reserved the weather for war. If God wants to help you, there will be a snowstorm or a flood or hailstones falling on your enemy's heads. In Israel right now, don't worry about what's happening. God's got a lot of rocks. You know, America has quit supporting Israel. God don't need Biden. He's still got ICE. During the Ezekiel 38 war that's coming up, what's going to happen if Israel runs out of weapons? They got covenant with God. And the Bible says in Ezekiel 38:1 that God will rain down hell, fire, and brimstone on them. Now, I know some of y'all want to be out of here, but I really would like to see that.
It's right behind you, which I have reserved.
For I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the battle of war. Go back to 22. You've entered the treasury of snow and have seen the treasury of hail. God's like, I'll help you. You know, during the American Revolution, every time the British would attack, the Americans would flee across a river and God bring rain, flood the river. They'd get to the next river and they'd cross it and then the river would flood. And then when George Washington was held up, I forgot what that place was, fog rolled in. And all the men went over in the fog. I think God loves sitting up there going, let's just mess with the weather a little bit here. Isn't that good? I just thought you'd enjoy that. I just think God is cool. And there were more who died from hailstones than the children of Israel killed with the sword. I mean, imagine what they're thinking. They're out fighting, all of a sudden it just ice. I mean. Not softball, but what is it? Bowl and ball hunks of ice, smacking people on the head and knocking them out. And God's up there going, hit them again, hit them again. Say, if God is for you. Someone said one time to me, they said, you know what, Morgan, you old. And I said, yeah, you ain't met my daddy. And Joshua spoke to the Lord that day when the Lord delivered the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, sun stand still over Gibeon and moon in the valley of Ashkelon. And the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the people had revenge on their enemies. I want to ask you a question. Do you know why he did it? Why did he say that? Yeah. I want you to pop another scripture up there. I pray I got this one right. Deuteronomy chapter 21, 22. Pop it on the screen. I want to read it to you. When Joshua went into the promised land, he said, obey the word. You do everything that's written in this word. So there is a scripture Joshua was aware of. If a man has committed a sin deserving death, and he is put to death, and you'll hang him on a tree. Keep going. His body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance, for he who is hanged is accursed of God. Now, that's an Old Testament scripture that God gave to Joshua and said, when you go to war, you got to make sure of one thing. You've got to take the king. Now, why the king? The king represents all the people. You don't need to hang everyone on a tree. Had Joshua done this battle and the sun went down, the curse would have stayed on the land. And there would have been no Messiah. Joshua had to win the battle in a day. But he wasn't going to be winning a battle in a day. Now I'm going to read it to you the way the Lord said to me. Though God is helping him, Joshua is fighting this battle against not one king, but five. And every time he cleans out a city, another whole city comes at him. And he's looking up in the sky, and the sun is moving, the sun is moving, the sun is moving, the sun is moving. And Joshua is looking up, and he's got another city, or two whole cities of people he's got to eliminate, and he's got to do it before that sun goes down, or the curse stays on the land. Now, I'm going to read to you in a minute that he had taken the kings and placed them in a cave. But he's got to get back up there to those men. He's got to get those men. Let me read that to you before I say what I'm going to say. Let me read that to you because this is very important. The five kings had fled and hid themselves in a cave in Makkadiah. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings have found hidden in the cave of Machpelah. And Joshua said, roll large stones against the mouth of the cave and set men to guard them. And don't stay there yourselves, but pursue your enemies. Attack their rear guard. Do not allow them to enter their cities, for the Lord has delivered them in your hand. And it happened while Joshua and the children of Israel made an end of slaying them, a very great slaughter, till they had finished. And those escaped entered fortified cities. And all the people returned to the camp of Joshua and Makeda in peace, and no one moved his tongue against the children of Israel. And Joshua said, open the mouth of the cave and bring the five kings to me. And they did so, and they brought out the five kings from the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it was when they brought out the kings, Joshua called the men of Israel and said, captains of the men, come near, put your feet on their necks. And they put their feet on their necks. And Joshua said to them, do not be afraid nor dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for the Lord your God will do to all your enemies who you fight against. And afterward, Joshua hung them, killed them, and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging on the trees until evening. And so it was at the time of the dawn, the sun going down, Joshua commanded that they take them from the trees, cast them in the cave where they had been hidden, and they put large stones against the cave's mouth and remain to this day. Now, why? Why? I just got through saying, listen to me. They had to get the kings. Now, not everybody. Not everybody they killed. Only the king. The king is the representative of the people. Amen. Now, he had to get them. So whenever he saw the sun going down, he didn't say, hey, God, by the way, we're going to need a miracle down here. Now, listen to me. The kingdom of God suffers violence. And the violent take it. Remember that. Kingdom of God suffers. God has given man dominion. He has given you the right. When he gave you a commandment in the Bible, you have the God-given dominion and right to command that to be so. So the sun is going down, and Joshua is killing men, and they're fighting, and the sun is going down, and they're fighting, and he finally looks up and says, sun, stop. And the sun stopped. How dare God give man that kind of authority and dominion over the earth that the sun itself would go, hey! This is Old Testament. How dare you look at a foot and go, be healed. Pain, go. I don't want to put up with you. We said, the world thinks, y'all that name it, claim it. Yes. God gave Adam dominion. This is Old Testament. But Joshua had to do it. Joshua had to do it to obey God. Miracles happen when you're in the will of God. When I was in India, God said, I want you to go to India. Folks, India was never on my list of places to preach. Stakes walking around that they think are their relatives. Some of y'all will get it in a minute. Him. The cow walks in your house, you have to let him. It might be your great-great-grandmother. It ain't my great-great-grandmother. India was never a place. When God said, I want you to go to India, I went, no, I don't want to go. You know what they eat for breakfast? Rice. You know what they eat for lunch? Rice. You know what they eat for dinner? Rice. You know what kind of seasons they have on it? None. The most bland, boring place you've ever been on this earth is India. I don't want to gross you out. There's a bathroom there that's never been cleaned in 100 years. It's the only one in town. And if you want to go, you better go in there. And you better get all the air you can get in your lungs before you go in, because you ain't going to breathe air when you in that place. I mean, you know, nasty place. Nasty place. There's beggars out there. And I was standing there in Harley on the train, and I said, can I throw money? He said, don't you dare. They'll mob you and kill you. They'll find out you have money. They'll jump in this train, and they'll drag you out, and they'll kill you for the money in your pocket. You can't throw money out of the window of this train. Oh, my God. I didn't mind going and preaching, but when it came time to go home, I'm going home. And on my way home, there's a riot in the city. There's a riot. All the taxi cab drivers are rioting and protesting against something the government's doing. And I got to get to an airport. My last day, I obeyed God. I went. But today I've got an airplane I got to catch, and I'm going home in Jesus' name. Do y'all understand? I'm going home. I was here 14 days. That's enough. I had all the rice I want. I want all the 4 foot 11 inches beds I want to sleep in. Nothing wrong with preaching the gospel. When it comes time to go home, I'm going home. And I didn't even tell God about it. Well, I said, I'm going home in Jesus' name. And I was adamant about it too. I'm leaving. I got on a taxi and I'm headed to the airport, and this riot breaks out, and I'm in a line of cars, 3/4 of a mile long, going into a city, and a rice paddy on the left and a rice paddy on the right. And I'm stuck in traffic. And the devil went, "You're not going home." I said, "Yes, I am. I'm going home now in Jesus' name." See, you might want to pay attention to me. This is in my book. In the rice paddy is a red tractor with an Indian on it. I mean, we're talking 100 acres in the right, 100 some acres to the left. And I'm on a single road going into town with nothing but cars in front of me. There's 50, 75 cars in front of me and 100 behind me. I said, "Father, I obeyed you. I obeyed you. I came. I preached. I cast out devils. I raised the dead. I preached in Bible school. I did what you said. And in Jesus' name today, I am going home." That tractor turned in the field and came to my taxi. And he said, it's called Malayalam. I don't have any idea what he said. And the little Jeep guy in my taxi pulled out of the traffic and got behind that tractor. That tractor's going down the side of the road sideways. My Jeep is tracking behind him. And we entered the city and went between houses. We were so tight that if you stuck your hand out of the car, it would rub the skin off your knuckles. We went under clotheslines in people's yards. My taxi following a tractor that God knows who's on it. We went through ditches. They don't have sewer. They have concrete culverts with waste in it. And my Jeep went down in it and came back up and went behind another house and went behind another house. About a half an hour later, I popped out on the other side and I looked to the left of me, and the rioters are down there, and they got me to the airport. Said, "Who is that guy?" Had to be an angel. I never met him. Well, there's a God. And then when did it happen? Because I said, yes. I'm going home. Yes. I'm going home in Jesus' name. Yes. Son, stop. Mark 11, 23 and 24. Whatever you desire when you're brave, believe you, take it. That's Jewish translation. Take it. Anyway. So he nailed these guys and hung them to a tree. Now go with me. Go with me to Matthew 27. Woo! Jesus is Lord. Put on your shouting clothes. Get them on. I'd rather be in my church than any other church in town. I'm not against other churches, but this is just happens to be the best one. 27:37, listen to this. And sitting down, they kept watch over him, and they put over his head an accusation. The king, This is Jesus, King of the Jews. Now let me explain something to you. When God, even though God is God, there was no way for him to redeem you as God. So he had to take on humanity. You see, God can't lie and God can't die and God can't be tempted. So God had to take on humanity. When we read our Bible, I want you to understand that Jesus became man. Jesus became a man in order to become my king.
Amen.
He became the second Adam. Because rather than you die on a cross, God had to nail your king to the cross to remove the curse on the land. The story of Easter, greatest story in the history of the earth, and how one man would die. I want you to read one more scripture with me. See, the Bible says, him who knew no sin became sin. When we read, it says, as Moses nailed the serpent on the snake, Jesus did not die as God incarnate. He died as Satan. He died as fallen man. There was no reason for everyone to die on a tree and be nailed to a tree. Just the king. And if the king is nailed to the tree, curse is off the land. I got one more scripture I want to read to you. Romans 5:14, and I'm going to go over there. One of the greatest mysteries. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. The Bible is about two men, the first Adam and the second Adam. Second Adam paid your debt. The second Adam was the only one who could. I want you to think about sin for a minute. How difficult would it be if God told you the only way you could be saved is to take a cup and drain the ocean? You'd say, well, that's pretty much impossible. This is correct. Everything that was done for you, God had to do it. Stop helping him. Rejoice in what he did. Amen. So let me finish reading this because this is very powerful. Redemption is a beautiful subject. But the free gift is not like the offense. For it is by one man's offense, Adam, many died. Much more grace of God and the gift of grace, one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, Adam, for judgment which came from one offense resulted in damnation. But the free gift came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense, Adam, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in damnation. Even so, one man's righteous act, the free gift, came to all men, resulting in righteousness of life. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. One man's obedience, many are made righteous. Did what Jesus did. Go to Galatians 2:20. Did what Jesus did work?
Yes.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. I'm going to read a couple more scriptures because I want to seal this in your soul before you go. In the eyes of God, you went to the cross. When your representative went there, you did. Now, why did God raised Jesus from the dead. To prove he accepted the sacrifice. Amen. Now, Robert, if he accepted the sacrifice, you have no judgment on you.
Amen.
I want you to think about that for a second. Who is the one always talking to you about how ugly you are? Who's he? Listen to what Paul said. I have been crucified with Christ. What's he talking about? What's he talking about? That he died on the cross? Was he one of the three men that died up there? No. Because it's called substitution, people. When your king went, God thinks you went. If you went and you paid the debt, now, had you gone alone, you would have never come out. In Joshua, the story of Joshua, those men died on the tree. They didn't come out of that rock. They didn't come out of that tomb. But one man did. One man went to a tree and came back. I was crucified with Christ. No longer I live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I am now living right now in my flesh, I am living by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Is Jesus righteous?
Yes.
What are you?
Righteous.
Now listen to me. Don't tell God I told you this. That he doesn't know there's any difference between you and Jesus. I am who you say I am. I can do what you say I can do. I died on that cross. I rose from the dead. I die no more. Folks, the biggest problem that you have right now is guilt and shame. You no good, sorry, good for nothing, dog. Who said? Who said? Who said? People look at me and say, well, how long are you planning on living? I go, forever. And they look at me like I've lost my mind. No, you've lost yours. People talking about when they die. I don't, if you ever hear I died, it's a lie. You talk like that, people think you're crazy. I think you're crazy. That you don't talk like that. Cindy was talking about one day about the cross, and I said, I know all about that. I was there. I know all about it. I was there. Fun thing to get your mind renewed. Go to Romans 5. I got a few more scriptures. Isn't this good? 5:25. Who was delivered up because of our offenses, that's sin, and raised because of justification. Well, let's take it apart, Zach. God did not raise Jesus from the dead until your debt was paid. Jesus, when he went to the cross, had to trust his Father to get him out because he died spiritually on that cross. Now, let's talk about death for a moment. Jesus is God incarnate, and the blood that flows through his body is the blood of God. Nothing on this planet could have paid your debt, but something priceless. God would accept nothing less than the blood. And listen, when we say, I plead the blood, I want you to understand what you're saying. Jesus, had he not died on the cross, would still be walking the earth right now. Like Adam. But the fact that he took your sin killed him. Your sin killed him. Before you get mad at other people, remember you killed Jesus. It'll make you nicer. You don't know what they did to me. Yeah, we ought to know what you did. You killed the Son of God. So willingly he took it. In the garden, what do you think he's in the garden praying about? It ain't the nails. It ain't the beating. And that's bad. I had one broken ankle and I thought that was bad. That hurt like bad. Jesus didn't even have any Advil. What bothered him? Being separated from God. Separated the wrath of his Father. He never felt the wrath of God. But did he take it? Did God accept it? How do you know? Because God finally said, it's enough. It's enough. Now here's the good news. You can't pay for sin twice. Your sin's paid. Amen. Kenny, it's paid. Amen. Proof of it is he raised him from the dead. So he died because of your sins, but he was raised not when God made him righteous, but when your king rose, the people rose. When the king came back, the whole kingdom returned. When Jesus was made righteous, God gave you his righteousness. Amen. Because you are him. Yes. As the king, so the people. Amen. All right, now we're going to get, I got another punchline for you in a minute. Y'all have to look and say, you're walking pretty good. I am. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, and we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen. Say, Christ redeemed me from the curse. There is no curse on me. Now listen to me. Listen to me very carefully. I want you to meditate on this until it becomes very real to you. Until this becomes real to you. Sickness is payment for sin. Say, I have no sin that needs to be paid for. Hey, devil, I plead the blood. I'm redeemed from the curse. I don't have to have a curse. I don't have to have a broken foot. I don't have to have nothing. I don't have to have no sickness. I don't have to have no poverty. Do you understand me? I am redeemed from the curse.
Thank you, Lord. Oh.
You see, if you're quoting scriptures, you don't know what they mean. You're just blowing air.
That's right. That's right.
But if he paid it, why are you? Well, I hadn't lived right. Shut up. Never was about you. Well, I'm preaching myself slap happy. You know. Hebrews 9. How am I doing for time? Oh, I'm doing good. Hebrews 9. Woo! Jesus is Lord. Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Say eternal.
Eternal.
Say forever.
Forever.
God
forever.
Is going to treat you like Jesus forever and forever and forever and forever. As long as that blood is on the altar in front of God, he's going to treat you like you never did anything wrong.
Yeah.
Woo.
Come on. Amen. Praise God.
I just get excited.
Amen.
Sometimes you got to preach yourself happy, you know.
Yeah.
You can tell I spent 3 days in the Word. Lisa's snow skiing. She's being carnal. I'm being spiritual. But I did find out something really cool. I don't know whether y'all ever had one of those fireplaces that you could hit the button and it came on. My house, you got to put wood in it. I felt cool. Oh, fire. I said, where's the remote? You can tell I'm a country boy and get excited about a fireplace. You just push a button, it comes on. Never had one of them growing up, by God. And put wood in that thing right there. You know, people, every time I go someplace, they'll look at me and go, where are you from? I said, Florida. And they went, no, you ain't. I said, what you talking about? Lisa hates it. We go to Alabama, I got to talk to her for it because they don't know things she's saying. I said, just let me order your burger. That girl know what you talking about. Girl walk up and said, you eat yet? And I said, I. Don't you? I. Yeah. Lisa's over there going, what are y'all talking about? I'm trying to get you something to eat, baby. Get you a Whopper with some cheese. Never mind. I get in these moods, you know, we just. Not with the blood of bulls and cattle, his own blood he entered the most holy faith once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. If the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer and sprinkle of unclean sanctified the purifying the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. For this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgression under the first covenant. Those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Say eternal. Say, I'm accepted in the beloved. Say, hey, devil, you whoop me no more. I know this sounds like we're designed to reign as a king in the earth because we're not subject to the economy. If I go to another country, I go as an ambassador from the country that sent me. If I lived in Africa, I would live like I live now. Africa does not define me. If I lived in India, and I wouldn't, but I would eat steak because I'm an American. Though you're here, you're a citizen of heaven. You live here the same way you're going to live there. Don't wait until you die to start enjoying the blessing of Abraham. Abraham started being blessed the day he cut covenant with God. Yeah. Yeah. We're kings now, priests now. All right, I'm not done yet. I got a couple more scriptures. And I'm going to read all of my scriptures. Isaiah 53. This is my last one. It really is. I love Easter. I'm just getting started. I got to tell y'all this. I can't wait next Sunday. Well, we got another Easter sermon because it's Easter. I saved the best for next week, so come back. Isaiah 53:1. Who believed my report? Has whom is the arm of the Lord been revealed? He would grow up before him as a tender plant, a root out of dry ground. He had no form or comeliness. He was not some handsome GQ looking dude. That we see him, there's no beauty, you would desire him. But he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Listen, people treated him bad too. You don't know what they did to me. They did it to him too. He knows what it's like to live here. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. We despised and did not esteem him. Surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace was laid upon him, and by his bruises I am the healed. All like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord laid on him, the iniquity of us all. God laid on Jesus all your iniquity. Now, I'm going to say something to you to blow your mind. It'll blow your mind. Nobody on the earth goes to hell for sinning. You say, how can you say such a thing? Did he die for them?
Yes.
Then why do people go to hell? Not smoking dope. Not chasing wild women or wild men. But the rejection of Jesus. The moment you say Jesus is Lord, the Spirit of God, you don't just get forgiven. The Spirit of God comes to live on the inside. The same Spirit that went into hell and got Jesus out of hell. The same Spirit.
Same one.
Now listen to me as I say this, and I'm going to blow your mind a little bit. As he is, so are you. When a man marries a woman, they become one person. Book of Ephesians says that is a great mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and his church. God sees no difference in you than Jesus. The problem is you see yourself different than that. If you today, when you pick up your Bible and say, Christ redeemed me from the curse. There's no curse on you. But now listen to what I said. You remember when I was reading the story of Joshua? He said, I have given you the land. Remember that? And then he told them, fight. Wait a minute. If he gave me the land, why do I have to fight? Great mystery. You ever read a scripture that says, fight. The good fight of faith. Satan is not going to let you win just because God loves you. He just loves me. Jesus loves me. Well, that's real sweet. You're going to have to pull the sword out and go, I think it's about time I cut your head off, you ugly thing. If you're not willing to talk to your broke foot and say, you'll be broke no more. Listen, if you don't speak in tongues, you need to. Because the Holy Ghost can't help people who don't talk in tongues. What's it for? Because God needs you to say some stuff. God needs you to declare some stuff. God needs you to stand up, and having done all to stand. Kingdom of God suffers violence. Violent, take it.
Yes.
You're not whipping the devil. He's whipped.
Yes.
And sometimes people have to remind him. Now, I'm going to pick on Tanya again. Tanya, let me pick on you 1 minute. Don't you love good police officers?
Yes.
I'm glad they're out there.
Yes.
They're enforcing the laws on the books.
Yes.
You want them out there.
Yes.
Because there are people breaking laws. And they drive crazy. I don't want to be on the road with crazy people. Well, I like Tanya. Because everybody's afraid of Tanya. They're not afraid of Tanya, but they don't like the bubble car. They don't like the uniform, and they don't like her 45 Glock. They don't like that. And because of that, they behave. You know what your job is in this earth? To enforce Satan's defeat. Sometimes you need to put on the whole armor of God and go, I said stop. Devil, woo, pull over. I'm going to stop you, sorry, good for nothing, lying dog, you stop it. I'm always glad when the cops catch a bad guy, and I'm glad when they don't see me. I tell you, the greatest excitement of me was driving down the road one day, about 55 down this road, and went by a cop car. And when I got to it, there was no one in it, and I went, thank you, Jesus. I'm not supposed to tell Tanya that. She can write me a ticket for just telling about it, I guess. I don't know, but I've been driving slow going down this road ever since that day. The devil sees you, he ought to go, oh, my God. There's one of them tongue-talking, devil-chasing, holy-rolling people. I want you to say this with me. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me. And cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. So the blessing of Abraham would come upon me. Say, I am blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. Abraham, blessings are mine. I am redeemed from the curse. Sickness, poverty, and death have no place in me. In Jesus' name. Now, I'm going to do something else right now. I don't know who all's in here. I don't know if anybody's not born again. I want you to say this. Say, I believe Jesus Christ died on that cross, rose from the dead, sat down at the right hand of God, and he's Lord. If you said that, you just got saved. Now, I got to tell you one more story real fast. What was that movie we saw the other night? Blind. The Blind. Phil Robinson? Robertson. Not Robinson. This is Robinson? Robertson. Okay. I wish people make up their mind what their last name is. Lisa and I watched the movie of how Phil got saved. Duck Dynasty, the guy that made the duck calls. Well, see, I sat there in that movie, and Lisa watched me, and I wept, because I know what it's like to be him. And the day that he came back and his wife had left him, he kicked her out. He was an alcoholic. You can't fix your problems. You can't fix them. You are not designed to fix them. And he went and said, Reverend, what do I need to do? He said, you must die so God can raise you from the dead. And he, I mean, complete alcoholic heathen, said, Jesus, come in my heart and be the Lord of my life. And he was born again. All of the sin in him. Sin nature gone. Took him down in the creek and baptized him. And he came up a brand new man. Every human being on this planet can go through that transformation with nothing more than believing that what happened on Easter was for you. Your whole future can change. I'm going to say one more thing before I turn this over to Lisa. I'm going to preach a sermon Wednesday night. I'm going to preach on love. Love is a commandment. When you get out of fellowship with God, you lose your joy. Get back. Get back to God. Get your joy back. There's things in this earth you cannot do, but he can. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Word of Life Church. We just wanted to let you know there's a lot more content on our website at wolapopka.com. From our YouTube channel, to our podcast, to our SoundCloud, and many more events. We also wanted to let you know that we love giving you these messages. And it helps us too that if you would love to give to the what we're doing, it helps keep all these messages free. You can just simply go to our website and click the big Give Now button. Or you can text 407-955-5345. And remember, our pastor's vision is this: we grow Christians. So we thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.